Words for Life is a recent talk by Pastor Jonathan Miller of Eastleigh Community Church in East Bentleigh here in Melbourne.
I headed into the preparation for this week with fear and trembling and trepidation, and yeah, wasn't really excited by the topic when I first heard about it. And there's kind of good reason for that. You know, there's lots of verses that I could show you in the Bible about humility. It's clearly a big issue for God. Pride is something he doesn't like. Humility is something he's really for. So I've just got one, which I think sums it up fairly well.
Is it up?
Yep. It's pretty simple. God opposes, it's from James 4:6. God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. It's pretty clear, really. But some good news, for me at least, I think for you too. In Thailand, I was in a prayer meeting, and nothing to do with the topics per se, but during that prayer meeting, I got a really clear message from God that the sermon is not a put-down. It's not a disciplinary sermon. It's actually a celebratory sermon, a celebration of humility. It's exciting and transformational. That changed things for me a lot. So it's not about squashing pride. It's about enhancing our humility so that our pride doesn't get in the way. So I've showed you already James 4:6, but somebody turned this off. Hang on. There we go. So yeah, I showed you James 4:6, but now let's have a look at James 4:10. It says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up." Kind of, we gloss over the whole lifting up thing, don't we? I think too much time is spent in sermons putting down people's pride and having to deal with the pride issues. And God kind of said to me, it doesn't work. You know, you can try to squash things in people and make people struggle with things, but we don't work like that. Humans don't really work like that. And there's so many sermons that have been, and Bible studies and so on, that have been spent on trying to squash our pride. And he said, like, that's not it. It's not what I want. So for us today, rather, the focus is on lifting up, on singing the praises of humility. So I'm feeling better already. Before I even started the topic, I'm like, okay, I don't mind now heading into that. That's good. I can do that. So first Bible passage that came to mind for me was this one. It's a story from Luke about a meal that Jesus went to. It comes from Luke 14:7-11. So when he, that's Jesus, noticed how the guests picked the places of honour at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honour, for a person more distinguished than you might have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. Then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you're invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honoured in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So I think when I read this in the past, thought, well, there's a bit of biblical discipline, isn't it, about what we should do and what we shouldn't do and the troubles that we cause ourselves. But looking through it this time, I see that differently. I see it as more just some good fatherly advice from someone who has a perfect understanding of human nature. So we all want to be exalted. That is human nature, trying to exalt ourselves. And in fact, never more than in this day of Facebook and Instagram, selfies, we have a desperate need to look good and to be seen as good by other people, to be thought of as special by other people. That's who we are these days. To give you some perspective on this, Google says that last year, 24 billion selfies were uploaded to the internet. 24 billion. It's staggering. You think the number of people on the earth, what, 8 or 9 billion maybe, but how many of them even have access to social media? But that's the culture that we live in. So the biblical equivalent of seating yourselves in the top of the table is trying to get 1,000 likes, or maybe 10,000 likes. And those who spend time on social media know, though, that as we go out of our way to try to make ourselves look good, we open ourselves up to trolling. And trolling is where other people try to make you look bad, or even worse. And that is the biblical equivalent of being sent to the bottom of the table. And see, Jesus says, we're doing this all backwards. What a surprise. Us people doing it backwards. Humans doing it backwards. But here we go again. When we try to make ourselves look good, we make other people feel bad. We don't do it on purpose. We just want to make ourselves look good. But the effect is other people feel bad. And the natural human reaction to other people looking good and making you feel bad is you want to make them feel bad. You want to cut them down. And you troll them. And that's the effect. But on the other hand, Jesus says, if our aim is to be good, not just to look good, others will actually recognize it. And others will exalt us. They will share your post. And they will like your post. They will tag you. You will go viral. I'm thinking about half of the people here have no idea what I'm talking about. I think you get the picture. But more importantly, God will make a post about you on God Book. And he will click and share it with the angels. And the angels will share and like it. And you will have fame in heaven. Now, for those of us that don't live on social media, of course, it means you're completely off the hook, right? Of course not. We find other ways to exalt ourselves, don't we? We find ways to talk ourselves up. And mea culpa, I am guilty. Right here on this very spot, a couple of months ago, I told you about my great sporting achievements in my glory days. And, you know, it was a good sermon illustration. But there was a bit of ego involved there, surely. And surely I could have found another way of expressing the idea, whatever it was at the time. But I didn't. Can anyone relate to this? One or two, most of them. Oh, no, that's not me. Yeah, I think we can relate. Is anyone in the habit of building themselves up in other people's eyes? Other than Steve. Do you mention your political connections? Do you mention your business accolades? Do you drop these things into the conversation? Do you mention famous people that you know or have spent time with? Or maybe it's your stuff. Do you talk about your great new car or your lovely house? Or perhaps closer to home, do you mention to your spouse the fact that you did the dinner or cleaned your bathroom? Of course, I'm speaking to men. Because women don't get to boast about those kind of things, do they? It's just assumed that they will do them. But for men, we boast about that, don't we? So, however it manifests in you, we all like building ourselves up. It's just something that we do. But let me suggest that you keep in mind that when you do, everyone's going to want to send you to the bottom of the table. That's just our natural human reaction. On the other hand, if you do cook a nice dinner or clean the table or clean the bathroom, guaranteed, everyone will get to find out about it. Why? Because your wife is going to be so excited. She's going to tell all her friends. And her friends are going to want their partners and husbands to do the same thing. And they're going to share it. And that is the reward for humility. Straight to the top of the table. So So as I said, the point today is not to make you feel bad about your egos. It's to encourage and build your humility. And that will get you invited to the top of the table. I want to look at another verse now, and this is from Romans. This is 12:3-6. Can I just say how well the clicker is working? You might have to edit that one out, but excellent. No complaints. It's all good. It will be good from this point on. Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, from one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Some of us are prayer warriors. Others of us are uncomfortable praying, especially out loud and in public. Some of us are great teachers, but others of us struggle just communicating at all. Some of us are great entertainers. We are fantastic at hospitality. Others are petrified at the thought of somebody coming over for dinner. Some of us are amazing encouragers. And others, like me probably, forget to sing people's praises when praise is due. The point is, from this passage, we see that the teacher is not greater than the encourager and the prayer is not greater than the entertainer. Whatever the gifts are that you've been given, we need to recognize just that, that they are just gifts. They're not our doing. And none of these gifts are more worthy than any others. In the same way, whatever we do or whatever we have, our possessions, our abilities, our talents, they're all gifts from God. And all the gifts, the credit goes to Him. The glory goes to Him. It belongs to God. The glory doesn't belong to us. So with that in mind, with that information, let's look a little bit further in Romans 12 at verse 16. Paul says we should live in harmony with each other. Who wants to live in harmony with each other? Almost everyone. Of course we do. Most of our struggles and stresses in this life come from not living in harmony with each other. Great, Paul. So how do we do it? What's the trick? What's the life hack? Well, let's look at the next part of the verse. Do not be arrogant, but associate with humble people. Okay. So we use the word humble to mean poor. But in this instance, there's not really any need to make that assumption. Humble means humble. You can be rich and still be humble. You can have lots of stuff and still be humble. In fact, you can have lots of spiritual gifts and you can still be humble. The verse says that you need to hang out with those kinds of people. Obviously, we want to be those kinds of people so that people will want to hang out with us, but we need to seek those kinds of people. And if we can find those kinds of people, humble people, and hang out with them, we're more likely to have harmonious relationships. So just for good measure, let's look at the last part of this verse, which says, "Do not think that you are wiser than you really are." I think we get the picture by now. When we think we're something special, that makes us hard to be with. Pride gets in the way of harmonious relationships. So pride is great for people that don't need people. Pride is great for people that don't care about other people. But if you do care about other people and you do care about relationships, pride is a loser and humility is a winner. Now, I want to show you one last Bible passage. As I show you this one, as I read through it, I want to try to think about the biblical principle that's in place. What do we learn about God from this passage? This is from Philippians 2:3-10. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and on under the earth. So what happened there? Jesus gave up the splendor of the world. That's what the devil offered him. And we kind of gloss over that, but it's not a trifling matter. It's something significant. Hello! And no doubt Jesus must have been genuinely tempted. There's no point in going through that process with Satan unless he actually tempted Jesus. But Jesus knew something. He knew that if he had taken up Satan's offer, he would have missed out on what God had to offer. And what was that? Let's look again at this part, this end part, which says that, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the sun. Satan offered the earth. God offered not just the earth, but was under the earth and heaven as well. So that's the principle. That's the principle I want us to get from today. God opposes pride, not just because he doesn't like it. I'm sure certainly he doesn't like it, but not just because he doesn't like it, but because he's got something greater to offer. He offers everything that we can gain through our own selfish ambition and so much more on top. Humility is an opportunity to be lifted by God. So, my friends, let's keep our eyes open for opportunities to be humble. And let's see what God brings our way in this lifetime and in the next. That's my sermon for today. Let's pray over that. Lord, thank you for your word that gives us insight into who you are and to who you want and into what you want of us. Lord, we ask you to raise up, to lift up our humility, to help us to understand the value of it, so that our own pride will just disappear as something crazy and insignificant compared to the riches that you offer, the lifting up that you offer, that you promise to those who are humble. I know this goes against our basic human nature, but that's the fight, isn't it, Lord? So we ask for your help in that fight to go beyond our human nature into your nature, into the spiritual nature that you have planted already inside of us. Yes, Lord, thank you for your instruction. Thank you for your promises. And thank you for molding us constantly to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Words for